Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to episode 84 of my weekly summary newsletter, the podcast that sums up what's been going on in my life and up on my website in the last few days. So we're coming towards the end of July, hard to believe, but there it is. And today's episode is titled The Day of Small Things. The Day of Small Things comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Who dares despise the day of small things? The story of Christianity really is the story of the underdog. It's the story of that which was despised becoming that which delighted. An obscure sect spread in an impossibly short time across the world. Small things becoming big things. The Messiah himself was predicted to come without fanfare exactly. Isaiah 53 verse 2. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So he was not coming in a blaze of glory. He was not coming fully Instagrammed. He was not coming with some kind of special announcement. Indeed, when he did arrive, skepticism surrounded his origins. John chapter 4 verse 46, Nazareth, this is Nathaniel speaking, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Philip said, well, come and see. But Nazareth was skeptical and, well, perhaps reasonably so. So I was reminded that great things come from unprepossessing origins by something that happened this last week. I spent 3 nights away in the depths of Hampshire on a personal spiritual retreat. I try to take one of those every year, at least one a year, an overnight retreat. This year, I managed 3 nights away, which I think might be the first time I've done 3 nights away since the first time I did a personal spiritual retreat back in 2003. It was wonderful. I'm really grateful to the people who made it possible, taking on some of my responsibilities, and especially, of course, Penny, back at home, just looking after things. But on one of the days I was away, I found myself near to Portsmouth. If you're not familiar with the UK, that's a city on the south coast, sort of almost in the centre of the south coast. And it's a city where both my parents grew up. So I decided, since I was nearby, to track down the house in which my father lived. My father grew up. It's a place I visited as a child, usually at Christmas, sometimes in the summer holidays, to see my granny, Granny Cox. Now, she died when I was 12. Unfortunately, I didn't know her when I was grown up. She died in 1973, at the age of 73. And although I have been back to the house since she died a few times, I've never been there on my own. It was always with Penny or with our children as a family. This was the first time I'd been back to the house all alone. Well, I found the address, which is number 7 Tranmere Road in Portsmouth. I parked the car around the corner and walked up and down the street outside. I was hoping not to look too much like a criminal, staking out the area. But I walked up and down, reflecting, remembering, thinking about my memories of visiting Granny Cox, of being there, staying in the house, being with her, what we did when we were there. The best that I can remember all those years ago, some of those memories more than 50 years old now. But I walked up and down. I spent some time in prayer thanking God for my grandmother and my father who grew up there. And I found myself unexpectedly moved. And after a while of thinking and praying about it, I realized it was because my grandmother raised my father through many challenges and in very modest circumstances. And she did that never knowing the extraordinary impact her sacrifices would have in the future. So let me explain at least a little bit. So I can't give you all the details here, but see, my grandmother raised my father as a single mum during the Second World War. They were bombed out of the house for a period of time. It was a tough, tough time. My father's father died when my father was only 3 years old, right at the beginning of the war. Nothing to do with the war, actually, just illnesses. So from the age of 3, my grandmother brought up my father on her own. Of course, government assistance, state support was very limited in those days. And although there was family around, they weren't particularly wealthy. I wouldn't call them poor, perhaps. Perhaps they were a bit poor, but they certainly didn't have much money. Not only that, but my father's mother had no profession. Of course, in those days, often women didn't. Her husband had been in the decorating and carpentry trade, but she had no profession, so she worked as a window dresser, as a grocer's assistant, and a few things like that. Tough, tough situation to bring up a young boy. Also, my father is a very gifted person. He's got an IQ in the Mensa range. He's borderline genius. He's extraordinarily intelligent. So for his mother, who had very limited education, because women in those days didn't get much education, with such a limited education, for her to bring him up and find ways in which his intellect could flourish was an extraordinary achievement. My father went on to complete a double first-class honours degree at Cambridge in economics and geography. And he went on to live a life of service to society, both as a head teacher and then later as an Anglican priest. The impact of his life on generation after generation of pupils at the school, as well as people needing God's comfort, it's all highly significant. Not only that, but of course, his servant attitude and his ambition to make the world a better place for the sake of Christ had a huge impact on me. I seriously doubt I'd be doing what I do now today if it were not for my father, and of course that goes back to his mother. So as I stood outside this very modest, ordinary home, and you'll see a picture of it if you look at the picture that accompanies this podcast, or go to my website or the newsletter that goes out. If you look at that picture, you'll see a very modest, very ordinary home, a terraced house in one of the less wealthy parts of Portsmouth. As I stood there, it moved me. It moved me to think that my grandmother was doing something extraordinary without ever knowing or seeing that which her influence would produce. How like the way we live as Christians. We do the ordinary, we do the unseen, we do the boring, and then we wait to see what God will do. We live by faith and not by sight, which means that we do what we believe is right by God, remembering, as it says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We do that. We live righteously, rightly by God and rightly by other people, even when it's hard, unrewarded, unfashionable, and frankly, sometimes quite dull. Is God calling you to do something ordinary this week? At least that looks ordinary. Don't despise it. Don't despise that small, ordinary thing. That which you see as ordinary might well be the way in which God will bring about the extraordinary. Well, that's my reflection for the week. Let me give you a couple of other thoughts before we finish off for the day. Firstly, some things on my website this week. You'll see the third in the class series called Unity to All Things, which is about rethinking our church gatherings, and this is about the Lord's Supper. That's class 3 in that series. You'll also see 4 episodes of my new podcast called A New Thing, as we're it's sort of a blog podcast of how we are beginning to think about re-entering meeting together as a church in Watford and what we're learning as we go along. So episodes 7, 6, 5, and 4 are up online there. And a couple of things to pray about for me, if you wouldn't mind, in the near future. Well, I will be this week finishing off the class series called Unity to All Things about the gatherings that we have as a congregation. And this one will be on the mission, on the internal mission and the external mission of the church. So that's recording this week. And also I'm continuing to work on a lesson on Colossians chapter 2 for the teachers' conference in Tallinn in Estonia, which is taking place in August. I've registered, and in fact, last night I booked my flights in faith that I will be able to go. Hopefully I will. At the moment, government regulations will allow me to go, but you never quite know, do you, in these strange times. So I hope I can go. I am working on the lesson. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's just Colossians chapter 2 is, oh my word, chock full of tremendous stuff. So I do pray that I manage to boil down what's most needed for this particular talk to this particular group from Colossians chapter 2 and get it under 30 minutes. So that's my prayer. And if you want to go to the conference, you'll see the references on my newsletter and on my website. And feel free to sign up. You can go virtually or you can go in person. It'd be great to see as many people there as possible. Right, that'll do for this week. The day of small things. Perhaps even this podcast is a small thing. But you never know what even a small thing might produce in the hands of God. In the hands of God, when we are weak, then we are strong. Till the next time, take care and God bless.